Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We finally made it. April the 23rd, a day we thought might never come, is finally here. The NFL draft, and we are so excited. Of course, tonight at 7 o'clock, the draft will be right here on 98.7 ESPN. Our very own Bart Scott and our dear friend Mike Tenenbaum will be involved in the draft coverage. You can watch it on ABC tonight. You can watch it on ESPN tonight. You can listen to us dissect it all day today and tomorrow and probably for quite some time. Chris Canty, I didn't know we were going to make it here, but we finally made it here to draft day.
We made it here, day. It's draft day. Suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys. I'm excited for all of these young men because this is the culmination of all the work that they put in their entire life in order to get to this point where they can realize their dreams. So I'm happy for them. There's only going to be one guy that gets picked where they think they should go, and that would be the number one overall pick with Joe Burrow. But regardless, that's an incredible achievement to be able to call yourself a draft pick into the NFL, and it starts tonight with the first round. I'm excited for all the guys that are going to be drafted this weekend.
Now, Rick, I'm excited for the guys as well, but you know who I'm excited for? I'm excited for me. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for Chris because we actually have real sports starting tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't remember the last time I was this excited for an NFL draft. I mean, as excited as I am, also being stuck at home, I mean, it is driving me a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit twisted. I mean, if you came up to where I did the show, it's like, you know, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. I got 500 different mock drafts, different scenarios. I mean, then all of a sudden you get the news last night that Miami's talking about trying to get up to 3.
For a tackle, though.
For a tackle. Now, that has me all confused because if you're going to go up for 3 for the tackle and all the Giants want for the 4th overall pick is a 2nd-round pick, why wouldn't you just all of a sudden now swap 5 for 4? So you're picking back-to-back. Don't give the Chargers the opportunity to trade up. Now you can take, I mean, pretty sexy. You take Alabama's tackle, too. You go Wills, Tua, back-to-back. That kind of had me intrigued. I mean, there's so many. This is going to be craziness tonight. Between the fact that who knows at any point if someone, you know, loses internet connection. You got, I mean, Bob Quinn's got his IT guy sleeping in a Winnebago. You got,
in the driveway.
In the driveway. Atlanta's GM has their IT guy sleeping in his basement. I mean, this whole thing is craziness. I mean, what happens if Tua all of a sudden slides past 6? Who trades up? I mean, it's going to be nuts.
And then I see last night with Isaiah Simmons, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah said, you know, he could slip to 9 or 10. So I don't know. It's all very confusing. Here's what I know. We're going to put our top 11 picks out today individually. And I'm almost ready to do it. Chris, are you ready to roll with your top 11 mock?
I've got my top 11 mock already done. I sent it out to Ray Santiago and Ray Dinahan this morning. So I'm ready to go, guys. We have to collaborate on this, too, if we're going to compete with the other shows.
I don't think that they've really taken to it very seriously.
Well, I know Donnie has submitted his, and I'm pretty sure that B&H are going to have theirs out at some point this morning. So, I mean, we have to have some consensus on what our top 11 mock is going to look like, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, but I don't know that the wager's ever been agreed upon. I haven't heard a response.
Forget about
the
wager, Dave. This is about bragging rights. What are you talking about?
This is pride.
Yeah,
hey,
you talking about the wager. I could care less. This is about being the most informed sports show on the station.
Now, what happens if we each have differing mock drafts, like very differing mock drafts?
Well, that's why I said we got to get on the same page, Dave.
Yeah.
I think we got to talk through it. I think we spend the first 2 hours talking through it, and then we unveil. I'm still waiting on a couple phone calls, too. So we unveil our individual at noon, and then throughout the course of the show, the first 2 hours, we'll get those out at the beginning of the noon hour, and then by the time we head into the observations, we'll have our show top 11.
So we'll slowly sprinkle our individual throughout the first couple hours of the show. Like you might say, look, obviously Burrow's going to go 1. We'd all agree with that. We'd move on to 2. We'll sprinkle that. Sprinkle. And then in the noon hour, the three of us will meld our minds together and come up with our best guess at a top 11.
Yes, I like that.
I like that as well.
I like that. And I'll be honest, I don't mind. I mean, I saw the K-Show top 11. I kind of like it. I think they did a pretty good job.
Here's what I'll say about the K-Show top 11, Chris, and I don't know if you agree or not. I have heard
nonstop from a million people that this is going to be wild. Everything you think you know is not going to be that way. It's going to be different. It's going to be in different directions. It felt very chalk to me. I mean, there was nothing that I looked at that I was like, oh, that would really surprise me. It felt like a very garden variety mock draft.
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to tell what's real and what's a smokescreen because everybody is trying to guard their plans. They're keeping everything close to the vest. And so you don't know what rumors to trust and what rumors are put out there to be misinformation to throw other teams off. I mean, Lewis Riddick put out the tweet last night that he's got the feeling that this is going to be a wild draft. Ian Rappaport put out the tweet about 20 minutes ago saying that the number three spot is heating up and that the Lions are entertaining more and more phone calls. So there could be action there early on in the draft. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on, Dave, but I guess that just builds toward the anticipation of what's going to happen in this thing actually getting underway and the Cincinnati Bengals being on the clock. But I think we're in for a wild night. I've said it throughout the entire pre-draft process. I think there are going to be a lot more trades than people expect because there are a lot more moving parts. And I think that because there's no consensus on the value of these prospects and different people's boards will be set drastically different, I think you could see a lot of movement in the first couple of rounds of this year's draft.
I think the other thing, too, and this is what kind of cloudies the waters for me a little bit is the fact that Trent Williams is available,
mm-hmm.
and also Joe Thuney is available. So, I mean, I could imagine, and I could see this as I'm going through all my mock drafts, that you could have a situation where there's a runoff on offensive linemen and the best four gone before the Jets pick at 11.
I think that could happen, absolutely. And I think it was Samini that came out with the report earlier today that he thinks the Jets might go CeeDee Lamb at 11 overall.
I don't know how go CeeDee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy. I don't know how you make that decision.
I think Jeudy might be gone, to be completely honest. I could see Jacksonville trading back. Jacksonville's trying to be bad and get as many draft picks as possible moving forward. I could see someone trading into 9 to get Jerry Jeudy.
Well, the report from Lock and Four yesterday, Rick, I don't know if you saw it, was that the Giants and Jaguars could have a potential trade if the Giants move down to 9 and the Jaguars move up to the 4 spot.
Yeah, I mean, but this is why this draft could be crazy tonight.
I feel overwhelmed at the moment.
I could see the Jets trading back. If you know their offensive tackles that they don't want are gone, I could see them trading back. Or if they don't like Mekhi Becton, if he's available and they want to trade back, I know there's a couple wide receivers that they'd like. I know they like that Justin Jefferson too,
mm-hmm.
a lot.
But yeah, I would agree with that, Rick. If all the tackles are off the board, I could see the Jets absolutely trading back. And I know it's your turn for the hot take, Rick, but I'm going to put this out there. I think all the tackles that we've been talking about go in the top 10. I think there are four offensive tackles that go in the top 10.
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
So one of the wild cards.
Once the Jets get to 11, I don't think they'll have their choice of the offensive tackles.
Even if Trent Williams is traded to the Browns, you still think you get the top four tackles taken before that?
Well, I mean, obviously, if there's a trade, that's going to throw everything off. But if it holds pat, if everything holds serve, and the teams that are currently scheduled to pick in the top 10 have to make those selections, then, yeah, I think all four offensive tackles, Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, and Becton, they all go in the top 10.
Yeah, I could see that. Especially if all of a sudden, I mean, if the Chargers surprise everybody and they don't take a quarterback and they end up going with the tackle 2 at 6, then you're definitely going to have all four tackles gone before that.
Yes. I don't know how you do that. I don't understand why you would do that, though, if you're the Chargers. Like, you need a quarterback. Odds are there's going to be one of the top three quarterbacks on the board for you there at 6. Why would you take a tackle?
You would take a tackle because you feel like you could win now. You traded Russell Okung. You bring in Trey Turner, who's a great guard. If you want to take him at face value, they like Tyrod Taylor, and then Cam Newton's still available too. So, if you want to take a tackle and you're trying to compete now, I think Cam Newton, I mean, especially trying to drum up some interest to sell tickets, Cam Newton would help you sell tickets too.
I think what the Chargers do at 6 is going to determine, you know, who's available in terms of the quarterbacks, but also the separation between those quarterbacks and the other guys like Jordan Love, like Jake Fromm, like Jacob Eason, like how much of a separation is there in the grade that you have with those guys as opposed to who would be available at 6, and then thinking about what you're getting in the difference between offensive tackles that are available in the top 10 versus offensive tackles that are available in the second round. So I just think that's that's ultimately what's going to determine the direction that the Chargers go in. But I would be very surprised if the Chargers don't get a quarterback in the first two rounds of this year's draft. They have to get a quarterback.
What, Rick, and then Chris, would, from the Jets standpoint, we'll start 11 with the Jets, would make you angry if they did tonight, if anything?
I don't know if there's much that would make me angry. Everything I've seen so far from Joe Douglas would lead me to believe that he's going to make the right decision moving forward.
And if I'm not saying he won't. Like I expect him to do well also, but like CD Lamb at 11, that's fine for you. Is there anything that would happen that you'd say, oh, you know what, I'm not a fan of this?
I just told you, Dave, if the Jets decide to take CD Lamb and Jerry Jeudy is still available, that would make me upset. Because I think Jerry Jeudy is the best receiver in this year's class. There is no question mark when it comes to Jerry Jeudy. Like, you heard Mike Tannenbaum on our show talk about CeeDee Lamb and how when you look at him, he's very slight of frame. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't imagine that a guy that plays that big is actually that small. But, I mean, with CeeDee Lamb, I don't know how he's going to hold up against NFL competition when you got corners that are pressing him. You know, there's a lot of wide open spaces when you talk about going up against secondaries in the Big 12. It's going to be a lot different. The one thing that I know going up and looking at Jerry Jeudy and seeing what he's done the last 2 years against top-notch competition in the SEC, I can trust that. Todd McShay called him the best route runner in the last 20 years, and that is the biggest difference between receivers getting separation versus not getting separation in the NFL. So to me, I would go with as sure a commodity as you could possibly get at the receiver position if I couldn't get my hands on one of those top four offensive tackles.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, his skill set, what he brings to the table is exactly, if I was Sam Darnold, would be exactly what I want. This wide receiver is going to be exactly where I need him to be when I need him to be there. Like, there's not going to be any question about that. And that's something that, how many times have you heard about wide receivers that get into the league and have a good first couple of years, and then all of a sudden they're one-trick ponies? Well, what happened? Well, they haven't developed their ability to run routes. But Jerry Jeudy is, a proven commodity, the best route runner that they've seen, they said, in 20 years. So, yeah, I like that. I just don't know, to be completely honest, looking at some of the teams that also like Jerry Jeudy and need wide receivers, if a team like Vegas doesn't try to move up, if a team like Denver doesn't try to move up, I think Atlanta might try to move up to take a corner. So, I just think that Jerry Jeudy may be gone before you get to 11.
But if you just do the numbers, right, and do you guys assume that three quarterbacks will be taken before the Jets?
No.
Three quarterbacks? No.
You don't?
No.
Really?
No. I've only got two quarterbacks in the top 10.
Wow.
That's spicy.
That is spicy.
This may be Canty's day for a spicy take.
Oh, I mean, if you want it to be even spicier, it's not Tua. Tua's not one of them.
Wow. This is unbelievable.
The draft's going to get crazy if Tua passes.
I'm telling you guys.
If he slides down, he's going to wind up on New England.
Nah, New England. How about Vegas? I mean, Vegas too, though, Dave. That would make sense for Vegas too, if he slides down. I think for Miami.
If he slides out of the top 10, things are going to get crazy. Things are going to get real crazy.
And that's what you expect, Chris.
And that's what I expect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This really is a spicy day.
It's going to be crazy, Dave. It's going to be crazy. Between what could happen with, this giant Zoom meeting that is going to be the draft. Someone could hack into it. Who knows? Dave Gettleman might not have pants on. He might not know how to unmute. This whole thing could get crazy.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. Like Dave Rothenberg celebrating Super Bowl 42 crazy. I think that's the direction that tonight's NFL draft is going to be going in. And I'm here for it, man. How much have we been talking about how we need this as a distraction based on where we're at in this country with this pandemic? Like, we need this. Roger Goodell was on Get Up yesterday and he was talking about how he felt like this was something that was necessary for the psyche of the country, trying to move things forward, give communities hope. Think about it, Dave. The NFL draft is the epitome of hope. Every fan base is excited. Every team is selling optimism for the future and what could be. Could there be a more fitting time for the NFL draft than right now based on where this country is at?
Is this the best sports day of games being played day of the year?
Currently, yeah. Currently it is.
Better than the Sunday that March Madness comes out.
Well, I don't know about that. We didn't have March Madness.
This is better than the brackets being released. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
This is the best.
This is better than the brackets being released.
Opening of the Olympics. This is the best non-actual sports day of the year.
Yeah, as far as sports go, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't sleep on the NHL draft. I mean, I have that right up there, too. I mean, it'll be disrespectful.
No, you don't.
Well, I live the NFL. I live the NHL draft.
Listen,
so I'm
no one
have
is
higher
disrespecting
rank.
The NHL draft, but the difference between this and that is you know all these guys. You've seen all these guys. That's why there's no buzz around the MLB draft. It's guys that you've really never heard of. I mean,
Timeout. There's no buzz around the MLB draft because when you draft a player, you're not going to see him for 4 or 5 years, sometimes six. Every guy that's going to get drafted in the first round, you're going to see them immediately.
But it's also guys you don't know who they are.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, this is a huge day, especially what it stands for. I mean, with these kids spent their entire lives trying to get to this point, and now you're going to get a chance to see them, achieve their ultimate dream, which is to be drafted into the NFL and play for an NFL team. I mean, even what it stands for. I mean, currently in the situation that we're in, I mean, this is, besides the fact that we love the NFL, I mean, this for these kids is their American dream. They spent their whole lives working towards one thing, and now, I mean, especially when you get a chance to see where they came from, some of the, I mean, I told you the one story about Gross Matos. I mean, he lost his, I didn't realize this. This makes it even worse. He lost his dad when he was two.
Ugh.
And then he lost his brother who got struck by lightning.
That is unbelievable.
And his dad apparently was trying to save him from, his dad drowned trying to save him from drowning.
Oh. How do you live with that? Like if you are drowning and someone saves you and they perish from saving you, you gotta be, you know, have scars from that forever.
Yeah, and then on top of it, I mean, you see your brother directly struck by lightning.
He saw that happen?
He didn't see it actually happen. He was there when it happened, so he saw the aftermath of it happening.
My God.
Yeah, so he saw that.
I'm sure he'll appreciate the opportunity to have this dream come true tonight.
Yep.
No question about it.
Probably more so than a lot of the other guys, right?
When
you've been through stuff like that.
This is a dream day for all of us. Now, it could turn into a nightmare based on what our teams do, but this is a dream day, man.
How you feeling about the Giants, Chris? I strangely feel optimistic about the Giants heading into this tonight.
I feel about as good as the Giants as Ray Santiago feels about Jerry Jones making the pick at his house by himself for the Cowboys.
So that's not very good.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
So you going into this draft, you have no confidence in the Giants.
They got to show and prove, Dave. I mean, Gettleman's track record with the first pick in the two drafts that he's run looks pretty good. I mean, but beyond that, there really isn't a whole lot to hang your hat on. The jury is still out on pretty much every other draft pick that he's made. I guess Darius Slayton we'd have to call as a hit. But, I mean, as far as all the other picks go, the jury is still out. We don't know what they're going to be. We don't know what Dexter Lawrence and DeAndre Baker and O'Shane Zimenez and all of, we don't have any idea what any of those guys are going to be. There's still a lot left to be desired for Dave Gettleman. Now, I hope that they do the right thing. They've got the fourth overall pick and they need an offensive lineman. So they're going to have a chance to get a really good player, somebody that can be a day one starter. But I mean, you know, I just don't know what they're going to do. Dave Gettleman's talking about how he's willing to trade down. I don't know. If he does decide to trade down, he's going to get the value that he should get with that decision. So, again, I don't have any confidence in Dave Gettleman because confidence comes from demonstrated performance. And based on what we've seen from him as the GM of the Giants for the first 2 years, you got to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think we're all disappointed. I actually think I have more confidence than you do, which is remarkable. And I don't have a ton, but I have some. Like, I would be surprised, Rick, if we get to tomorrow morning. We start the show, and it's just, you know, panic and how awful the Giants did. If you can't have a good fourth overall selection and turn that into a big-time player and feel good about it the next day, you got real problems on your hands.
Well, you're going to get a good player. I mean, it's going to all depend on what you prefer. I mean, if it ends up being a tackle, which I think all three of us preferred them take tackle at four, or it ends up being Simmons. I mean, there are some Giants, you know, some of my buddies that love the Giants, they'd love to see Simmons in a Giants uniform running around the field on defense, and then the other ones I talked to would rather have a tackle. Now, you're going to get you should get a really good player with the fourth overall pick.
The one that would make me lose my mind is Derrick Brown. If they go Derrick Brown, you laugh, Chris. You can't see that happening?
Dave, I really can't, man. I mean, you franchise Leonard Williams after you traded for him, and you drafted Dexter Lawrence last year in the first round. I just couldn't see them deciding to triple down on defensive tackle and take Derrick Brown.
God, I hope not.
That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Would you check on me immediately if that was the case?
What'd you say?
Would you check on me immediately if they took Derrick Brown third?
Yeah, I think I would reach out to you, and that's not a text, that's a phone call.
That's a phone call.
I'm worried that you might hurt yourself. Like, I'm very concerned.
Stay away from sharp objects, kind of a call?
Yeah, that's one of them. We need to radio in. There needs to be an intervention because Dave Rothenberg could do something that's off the wall.
All right, so we'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. I don't think we're going out on a limb here. I'm going to make my first pick, guys, as we're going to sprinkle that throughout the first 2 hours. I'm going to go Burrow, number one, Cincinnati. Chris, you will concur with that?
I concur, my man.
All right. He's going Burrow. Rick?
I'm going to go Burrow as well.
Okay. We are all locked in. First selection is in, and we've gone with Joe Burrow. Now, did you see? I think it was the Schefter reports that teams have tried to get up there and get that number one overall selection, Chris, and Cincinnati said, no, it's not available. You can't have it. We are not trading that draft pick.
Yeah, it was the Miami Dolphins. They were trying to get up, which leads me to believe that they were sold on Joe Burrow. I mean, if you're willing to mortgage the kind of capital that it would take in order to pry that pick from the Cincinnati Bengals, then that lets me know you had a conviction on the player and you felt like he was that much better than your other options at that position early on in the draft. So to me, that's one of those things where I feel like the Dolphins have tipped their hand in terms of being out on the other two quarterbacks that are projected to go in the top 10.
Can you still bet? Here's another question I was thinking about. Since, I mean, it doesn't feel like, I mean, there's any doubt that Joe Burrow is going with the first overall pick. I mean, can you still bet on Joe Burrow being the first overall pick?
Yeah, do you see what the odds are?
Is it plus 200? What is it?
Plus 200? Wait, for Burrow to be the number one pick?
Well, did check on
it. I would say minus 2,000.
Yeah, no, I think I saw minus 100,000.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, minus 100,000?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. You'd have to bet $100,000 to win $100 on Joe Burrow being the top overall selection.
It's not a good bet.
Well, it's a slam dunk.
That's aggressive.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
You think it's a slam dunk to leverage $100,000 to get $100?
No, I don't think it's a
smart
wager.
I was about to say, once we get off the air, let's make a deal.
I don't think it's a smart wager, but I'm just saying, like, is there any way that you see that Burrow is not the top overall selection?
No chance. Joe Burrow will be the number one overall pick. I mean, didn't we say that right after he won the national championship game? Like, we said that. He's going to be the number one overall pick. The kid won the Heisman. The kid dominated the college football playoff. There wasn't going to be any question that he was going to be the number one overall pick, especially the fact that he's from Southeast Ohio and the Bengals have the number one pick.
Right.
On the heels.
Couple that in.
Yeah, on the heels, too, of Tiger King being released. So now you got Joe Exotic going to the Cincinnati. It's perfect.
But look at the year he had. I don't even know that it's arguably. He had the greatest year in the history of college football. I think that is a very fair statement to make, Rick.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I gave you that stat I think it was last week. He threw more touchdowns than he threw inaccurate passes last year. I think he threw 40 off-target passes and he threw 60 touchdowns. It's insane. The only thing the only thing that would concern you a little bit, if you do have any concern at all, is he didn't have a great junior year. I mean, he couldn't beat out, what's his name? Dwayne Haskins. So it's really only one really good year.
He was a one-year wonder. It's true.
And he's going to the Bengals, who don't have a long history of a ton of success.
Yeah, of anything, really. All right, 800-919-3776. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go with my second selection as well. I'm going to go Chase Young to the Washington Redskins. That is now written in pen. Chris, do you know where you'd like to go with your second selection yet?
I will also go with the Dematha High School product, Chase Young, to the Washington Redskins.
And Rick?
Yeah, you can pen me in. Sharpie me in.
Now, when we have trades, and I envision we're going to have trades, are we now going to say who the new team will select, or are we just going to say that a trade will happen?
No, you're going to have to say the player.
Okay, so you're going to have to say, for instance, Miami moves up to number 3 and selects Mekhi Becton with the third overall pick.
Yes.
Right?
You would have to do it that way, yes.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to push you guys on three yet. We'll get to that moving forward today. Let's go to Justin in Toms River. Justin, you're first up on a very exciting day on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. It is an exciting day. I mean, considering we haven't had sports for this long, I'm going nuts. It really gives me and my family something to look forward to watch the draft and watch the Jets draft and future stars, hopefully. I want to talk about the Jets, and, you know, you hear all these scenarios with them taking a tackle, and I agree with you guys. The top three or four tackles could be gone in this draft, and I wouldn't shed a tear if the Jets took a wide receiver, you know, in the first round if they have a pick of the top wide receiver in this draft. The Jets haven't had a star wide receiver since Lavernius Coles and Santana Moss, and both of them ended up leaving, which I believe was a mistake. But who do you guys think is the top wide receiver in this draft? I agree. I think it's Judy, but I want to have your guys' take on that.
I like Jerry Jeudy a lot, and I think the other wide receiver that they like a lot is Justin Jefferson.
But I don't think there's any reason to take Jefferson at 11. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. If you're going to take him, you can move back in the first round.
Yeah, you could trade back.
Yeah.
I don't think they would be heartbroken if they got more picks and ended up with Justin Jefferson with their first pick in the first round.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to go. Kid can play. I mean, the fact that he can play X, Z, and a slot, that type of versatility matters. But Jerry Jeudy can do the same thing.
You know, another wild card, too, though, I was thinking about, and I've heard this from a couple different people, is what Arizona decides to do at 8. They need offensive line help, mm-hmm. but the fact that Kyler Murray did play with CeeDee Lamb, that's pretty interesting.
I know.
I just got Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. They got to chill out.
I totally agree.
They got to chill out.
You need to give him the best available offensive line.
Yes.
I mean, your receivers are already good. Really good.
Yeah, but you did hear them talking about trading Christian Kirk.
I did hear that. I also heard their general manager, Steve Kahn, said he's not interested in Kyler Murray's opinion about what they should do with the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, you didn't see that, Rick? Murray came out and said, I'd like to have this guy, I'd like to have that guy. And Kahn came out and he said, listen, let us take care of that. You worry about quarterbacking on Sundays.
No, he's swinging it. He's swinging it. I mean, that's how good he feels about his rookie season. The kid had a pretty damn good rookie season, man.
Yeah, he did.
You're all in with him at this point.
Let's go to Train in the Truck. Train, you're next up on 98.7.
Oh, my God. The chemistry on this show is unmatched. I'm telling you. It's crazy. Real quick, I just wanted to say that kid you guys said that he watched his brother drown and hit by lightning, all that. If he becomes a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl winner or something, except if he's on the Patriots, that would be some 30 for 30. But I just wanted to say, as far as Belichick, I'm a Jets fan. I hate the Patriots, but I respect them. But do they have a real GM? Because this guy, I don't know how he does the trades, the signing, and still coaches X's and O's. And, like, you see Van Gundy tried that and Thibodeau tried. It's amazing how Belichick, I'm so jealous of the Patriots fans, and they have nothing to worry about, and I hate it. I hate it. And, yeah, Dave, I can't wait to see if they pick Brown, the Giants, because I haven't heard a rant from you in a long time.
Why would you hope that was – really? I mean, I'm trapped in my home. I can't leave the house.
Crazy.
I mean, a big venture for me is to the mailbox. I haven't put pants on in a full calendar month, and you want the Giants to take Derrick Brown?
I miss you going crazy and Rick and Chris getting on you about it. But Chris, check on them if they do that. All right.
I got you.
Oh, what I
make sure. I got to make sure my guys are good tonight.
Oh, what I thanks for the call, Train. Right, I mean, forget about angry.
Hulk smash.
I might walk around
through the entire house, Dave.
Oh, I would be livid.
Yeah, but you were angry about. I mean, you flipped out when they took Daniel Jones at 6.
I wasn't happy about it. Okay. It did so far. That doesn't mean that I can't be upset about a future draft pick.
Listen, I mean, Dave Gettleman did have the giant binder in front of his one computer in his war room. I mean, that probably is the Jets playbook. So according to the Jets playbook, I mean, the move would be to take the defensive lineman.
I don't know.
Take Derrick Brown.
I heard the Lions really like him at 3 overall.
The Lions want to get out of 3.
Yes. But if they stay,
I mean,
they have
to find someone. They have to find someone willing to move up.
Well, that's therein lies the conundrum here.
Here's the thing with Miami, because I can't get past. I think that Miami's still going to take Tua. I know it's a risk, but I mean, you have 5 first round picks in the next 2 years. I mean, wouldn't this be the time? I mean, when you need a quarterback, maybe to take the big swing.
When you say the big swing, what's that?
Tua. Yeah, risk it. I mean, maybe it's not. I mean, maybe it's
unless
not.
You don't, you know, like them.
They like him. Maybe it's not 12 to 15 years. Maybe it's, you know, 7 or 8 great ones. I mean, you think that Carolina was upset that they got 8 great years out of Cam Newton, went to a Super Bowl, he won an MVP?
No. If I tell you you're going to get a quarterback and he's going to be good for 8 to 10 years, really good to great for 8 to 10 years, you would absolutely sign for that.
Yeah, but you just don't know if Tua is going to be able to hold up for the 8 to 10 years. I think that's what makes this risk a little different than, you know, going after a prospect that everybody's, you know, looking at as boom or bust. I look at this Tua situation a lot different. When you don't have all the information, you know, when you're relying on reports from other doctors and not the doctors that you're paying, as a team, that puts you in a little bit of a tough spot. So I could understand why they would be hesitant to, you know, draft Tua and tab him as the quarterback of the future. Like, I get it.
We'll find out. 7 o'clock. Now, I'm just finding this little programming note out. Carlin's going to be on for an hour tonight. From 7 to 8 into the draft, which starts then at 8 o'clock. So it's going to be our show, Bart and Hahn. They have Sal Powell at 2 o'clock today. The K Show, Mark Sanchez, Rick's favorite quarterback, is going to join the show at 5 o'clock today. And then Carlin for an hour, 7 to 8, leading into the draft at 8 o'clock. All right, one more question for you guys. We'll break, come back, get to the calls, and continue through our individual mock drafts. So let's just say that I have a trade here. Do I have to hit the trade, the team that trades up, and the player that they select to have that a correct selection at number 3?
No, I just think you need the player right. I think you need the appropriate first 11 players.
Okay. So trade
if the team
or
is
not,
wrong, but the team is wrong, or it's not a trade, but the player is right where you picked them. So whoever you pick at 3, for me, and Chris may be different, I don't care who the team is as long as you got the player right.
Chris, how do you feel about this?
I'm okay with that. I mean, if you got the player right, then cool. But I think you get extra points if you actually get the team right as well.
So if you get it all right, so let's just say for argument's sake, I put Jeff Okuda 3rd overall.
Yeah.
And Okuda goes 3rd. I get a point.
Yes.
But if you have Miami trading up from 5 to 3 and Miami taking Okuda and he goes 3rd, you get 2 points.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes. I'm cool with that.
Rick?
If Chris gets, okay, if Chris has Miami trading up to 3 and taking Jeff Okuda.
No, I don't have them trading up to 3 to take Jeff Okuda, no.
I'm just saying, when you just signed Byron Jones and you already have Xavier Howard, if that did actually happen, Chris would just, he would just win. He would just, I don't care what the rest of the draft looks like, he would win.
But if you move
and
up.
And immediately after that happened, I'd go out and play the Powerball. Immediately.
Yeah, because that would be, ridiculous. Because that would be ridiculous if that hypothetical happened.
But if you move up, you hit the trade and the team and the player that they take, you get double the points for what we're doing. You get 2 points instead of the 1. Rick, you sign on for that, yes?
No, hold on, Dave. I think that if you predict a trade and you get the team and the player right, that should be double. So if you have the team and the player right in the original choice, that's 2 points. But if you predict a trade and you get both right, shouldn't we double that up? Shouldn't that be 4?
No, but if I get Joe Burrow right, I don't get 2 points. I get 1.
I thought we were saying that you get 2 points.
No, you get 2 points.
It's semantics. It's semantics. It's either 2 points or 4 points or 1 point or 2 points. Yeah, if you get the trade right.
If you get the team that's trades and the player, you double.
Okay.
You get 2 points.
You double.
And otherwise, if there's no trade and you get the player right, you get the 1 point.
Exactly correct. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, so our first two picks from our mock draft are in. Are you guys ready? At some point during this segment, we need to do the third pick at least. Are you ready for 3 now, or would you prefer to wait to the end of the segment?
Yeah, I'm not ready.
You're not ready.
I'm not ready.
I'm ready, Dave.
You're ready. I feel like you're very confident, all buttoned up today, Chris.
I'm confident. That doesn't mean I'm right, but I understand that you know, listen, if you're going to do something, have some conviction about what you're doing. That's what we're going to ask these NFL teams to do tonight, especially our Giants and Jets. But, I mean, listen, Dave, I put together my mock draft late last night, and I have confidence in it.
I love it.
What do you want me to say?
I love the confidence, because Rick has none. But this is typical of what he does on a normal Friday when we make our football picks. I mean, he's completely stressed out about it. He'll ask anybody that he comes in contact with. He changes 50 times on the fly. Like, he becomes that person that overthinks everything.
Well, Dave, he polls everybody in the building before we make the picks on Friday.
Everybody. Everybody.
I mean, it could get to the point where you're just getting too much information.
Yeah, I'm past that point. I'm past that point.
Yeah. Because this is all he has to think about. Typically, there's, you know, basketball and hockey and now it's, I mean, this is it. He's all in 100% drafting right now. 100%.
When he's not playing Uno with the family or having a tea party with Ella.
Were there any good Uno games last night?
A couple good Uno games, yeah. I had a rough night, to be completely honest. In the afternoon, I dominated the grocery store, was feeling good about myself, and then was in the midst of making the kids dessert when I got folded up by the trash can. Just completely folded up.
Wait, what?
I took a turn. I had to pull out the pull-out drawer trash can.
Yeah.
And apparently, Ella had pulled it out, and I wasn't paying attention. So when I turned to go finish up the dessert, I ran, I smashed into it and just completely folded me up. Like, hips going one way, back turned the other, just a mess.
Now, is Ella giving you advice with the third overall pick or no?
That's the phone call I'm waiting back from. is Ella.
She's going to come down to Daddy?
I had her call the Dolphins. Do some investigative work for me.
Do you think you could call up Gettleman and work out a trade, just being you, like at your home?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could have Milo on the phone pretending to be a GM from one of these teams, and he definitely...
Hello, Dave?
Dave.
Dave? What do you want?
Dave, this is Tom Telesco. This doesn't sound like this. I'm telling you.
I have a beautiful setup here, Dave.
I'm in L.A.
I'll give you two TVs and the six pick.
I'll give you another analytics guy, and then and an abacus. You in? Okay, we'll take it.
And a big head of broccoli. Let's go to Mike in Parsippany. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on, Mike?
Not too much. Two quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen. Number one, in your draft ring that you got going, if a guy makes a trade and a player and gets the player right but the trade wrong, does he still get a point, or is it like a parlay and he loses all his points?
No, we determine that if you get the draft team or the player right, you still get 1 point. If you get them both right, you get 2 points.
Okay, I missed that part. And number two, if the Giants do trade down but stay within the top 10, what do you think is adequate compensation for that pick? Like, what would you take? A first, a third, and a fifth next year?
Well, it depends on where you go.
Yeah, it depends on where you go.
Yeah, so let's say we drop to 9. What would you take for that?
If who drops to 9? The Giants drop to 9?
Yeah, let's say the Giants drop to 9.
No, I don't think the Giants want to drop that low.
Yeah, right? I mean, if not, you got to go with the offensive tackle and combat everybody's pass rusher within the division. That's the only other way to go.
Yeah, but in theory, if you did, and thanks for the call, Mike, Rick, if you had all four of these guys ranked somewhat closely, couldn't you drop down to 9 and still probably get one of those four guys?
Yes.
You could.
Yeah, you could probably, but it's, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean.
But what are the chances of you having all the guys rated the same? That's the other part of this, Dave. Like, what are the chances you have all four offensive tackles
probably
rated the same?
Probably very little.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you've got an opportunity to take a guy that you believe to be the best of the bunch, why would you mess around with it? Why would you get cute? I mean, dropping from 4 to 9? I mean, you'd have to have significant compensation going back to justify making that decision. And yeah. I don't know that Jacksonville would actually do that. And who would Jacksonville be coming up to get is the other part of the equation. I know this is a hypothetical, but just think about it. Like, they've been talking about wanting to trade down too and tanking for Trevor Lawrence next year. Who would they be coming up to get?
Maybe they love one of these quarterbacks.
It's possible. It's possible. Listen, it's Lion season, man. I don't trust anything coming out from these teams. If they're telling you something, the reality is they're probably planning on doing something else. But I mean, if you're Dave Gettleman, you haven't, You haven't traded back as a general manager. I just don't understand why you would pick this year's draft to do it when you have so many logistical hurdles that you're trying to clear.
All right, Chris, it's time. It's time. Whether Rick is ready or not, we're going to make him be ready by the end of this. Who are you going with third overall in our mock drafts today?
Dave, I am going with one Tristan Wirfs.
Wirfs to the Lions, right?
No.
Oh!
I have the Lions trading out of three and the Miami Dolphins moving up to have their pick of the tackles, and they're going with one Tristan Wirfs.
Now, this is a little bit disappointing for me because I have the exact same thing. There's been smoke around Miami. I don't know that they're going to go quarterback. Sounds like they're in love with one of the offensive linemen. I believe that's Tristan Wirfs. So I'm going to say Dolphins leapfrog the Giants. They go up to three, and they take from Iowa Tristan Wirfs. So we're in agreement on that. Rick?
I told you I'm not ready. You're not going to force me to make my pick. I'm not ready yet.
But it's time.
It's not time. I told you I would give you my full top 11 at noon. It's 10:42 right now.
The chimes.
I don't care what the chimes are. I mean, my system went down. We're going to have to stop the process.
For an hour and 15 minutes?
Yep, Milo just kicked out the plug. Yep, I'm down. I'm going to have to get my IT guy.
So you refuse to give your third pick?
My IT guy is currently in a double wide.
Now, it was your baby that you wanted to sprinkle our mock drafts through the first 2 hours of the show.
No, I didn't say sprinkle our mock drafts. I said we would go back and forth and discuss what we thought could potentially happen, and then we would unveil our mock drafts at noon. You can listen to the tape. That's exactly what I said.
All right, so you're out.
I'm out. Currently, I am out, yes.
Until noon. All right, so Chris, you and I will give our mock drafts sprinkled throughout the show. And then when he's ready, when his Wi-Fi comes back and is up and functional and running, he will follow suit as well.
That sounds good, Dave. Meanwhile, I think you should check your text messages because we both got some incoming information from one Jordan Renan.
Now, here's my question for you. Are we allowed to go on air with this?
I'm not going with it just as of yet, but I'm just saying these are things that make you go, very, very interesting happenings potentially in the top 10.
Wow. All right, let me check my text messages.
Did Jordan buy a toupee?
No.
Wow. Wow.
Now, he's going to be doing television tonight. Do you think that he's hooded when he does this? He can't be, right?
No. No, I didn't think it looked that bad. I mean, he already did some TV. It didn't look that bad. But then all of a sudden you see him do his social media stuff. He won't take the hood off.
No.
He thinks it's terrible. I don't think it's bad.
But he's doubling up. He's going with a beanie followed by the hood. So you don't know what's happening under there.
He's double bagging it.
Yeah.
And that's a big commitment.
That's a tremendous commitment. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. All right, we're going to make our selection for the Giants at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Chris and I will, and Rick, when he's ready, is going to start to involve himself in this. Got to get into the Red Sox and a little slap on the wrist they got in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Andy and Merrick, you bring us the questions of the day, and you are on 98.7. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. Christmas in April is here. And as such, we have one more set of NFL draft questions for you. Chris, you ready?
I am ready, Andy. Let's roll.
Let's go to the 05 draft.
One more time to your 2005 NFL draft. You were one of seven Virginia Cavaliers selected that year. Can you tell me what school led the way with 11 draft picks in 2005?
I'm going to say Oklahoma.
You got it.
Nice. Yeah, because that was Jamal Brown was in that draft class. He was really good. Dan Cody was there. Mark
Nicely
Clayton.
Nicely done.
Beautifully done.
Yeah, they were deep.
Beautifully done.
They were deep.
All right, Rick, you ready for your Jets question?
Oh, yeah, you embarrassed me yesterday, Andy. I'm ready.
No. You're going to get this, I hope. In the Jets' long and storied history, they've drafted seven players from Florida State University. Who was the most recent Florida State Seminole drafted by the Jets?
Most recent Florida State Seminole drafted by the Jets. So Chris got his right. I'm sure Dave will get his right. So if I get mine wrong, no huge
Would you stop
problem.
Comparing yourself? Just focus.
Focus, Florida State. Was it a running back?
It was a running back.
Leon Washington.
You got it.
Nice. Oh,
thank God. Thank
Dave
God.
Dave DiPietro. All right,
Skill
Dave.
Positions.
Giants question.
All right.
Of course. In the last 40 years, 1980 to present, the Giants have invested 3 first-round picks in Notre Dame players. Mm-hmm. Name 2 of those 3.
Eric Dorsey, Derek Brown.
Could you come up with a third one?
Luke Pettigrew.
Come on, you know, I hate that you do this.
You got Luke Pettigrew out there for you. Team game.
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
We were good today.
You guys were right on point. Hey, enjoy the draft and stay healthy, guys.
Thanks. You as well, Andy. We did a really nice job today.
It's draft day, Dave. We got to be locked and loaded, man.
Chris, how did you
know playing around?
Oklahoma. The Oklahoma one was phenomenal from you.
I mean, not really. Oklahoma was really good back when I was in college, Dave. Like, really, really good. And I trained with Jamal Brown as we were getting ready for the combine. But there were a ton of Oklahoma guys that were out there.
No, I was impressed.
Plus, Dan Cody was a defensive lineman. And you know, when you're, you know, a prospect, you're looking at all the other players at your position and wondering where you slot in. So I just put 2 and 2 together, Dave. It's not hard.
Well, you did great. I'm proud of you. Rick, you did well. Even though with the negative attitude, you still hammered that out of the park.
You know, reverse psychology. I was trying to, you know, the juju you had yesterday with how we're going to get this right. We've been crushing it. So I try to reverse it.
Oh.
I think it worked.
Leon Washington. Good job by you.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm
better with
Cole's
the more current, like the more current well. Jets information I'm better with. Like a lot of the earlier stuff, it has to go out of the head. Like the CTE and everything else. I can't have that much going on.
Draft tonight. We have been counting down this day for literally months. Months. I mean, if this was a normal, if the Mets were playing tonight, if the Yankees were playing tonight, if there was NBA tonight, if the NHL was playing tonight, we would still be gaga over the draft tonight. The fact that the draft is all by itself on center stage, I cannot imagine, Chris, what the ratings are going to be like for this one.
And I was just thinking about that, Dave. What's going to be more highly rated? What we're going to see tonight or what we saw last Sunday and what we'll see this coming Sunday with The Last Dance?
This.
I think the NFL draft will be by far. So not even close.
Well, now here's the thing, though. And this is a determining factor. So obviously The Last Dance is solely on ESPN. This is on ABC and ESPN. So do you combine the number or are you looking solely at ESPN's number?
I think you'd have
to
combine.
I think it depends on what you want.
You'd have to combine it, right?
Yeah, you got to put it together.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a different flavor on each one. I mean, you're going to get our NFL guys on ESPN, and then on ABC, you're going to get more like a in-depth look of the players' stories leading up to where they're at now.
If you combine the number, I think this is going to be the highest rated draft in the history of drafts.
Now, will the NFL Network carry it as well? Because I know it's a joint broadcast.
Yeah, I think they have the simulcast of what we have on ESPN.
Okay. So, yeah, you'd have to combine all three, wouldn't you?
I don't. Do you use theirs? Because it's not an ESPN property, though. So even
but we're sharing.
We're just talking about the rating.
Yeah, but we're sharing right now. We're currently sharing broadcasts. Like today, ESPN2 showed Good Morning Football.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're gonna, I mean, I don't think their number will be huge anyway. But if you combine all three, ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network, I don't think we're going to see a draft like this again. Really, I don't, or I hope we don't see a draft like this again because I don't want to be locked down like this a year or 2 years from now.
I think the number at 8 o'clock from 8 to 9 is going to be humongous.
Huge, huge,
humongous.
So what? We had 6 million on Sunday night during. During The Last Dance,
yes.
I got to figure you're, I mean, I would say you're doubling that.
Whoa.
I would say 10 to 12 million for this tonight.
I'm shocked that you're saying that, but as I think about it, I can't disagree with you. Like, I think it's going to do a big number as well.
I hope so.
I mean, the popularity of football versus basketball is, you know, it's clearly a difference in there as well. So, yeah, I mean, I could absolutely see this being a huge, huge event. I mean, this is, as far as sporting events go, this is probably going to be, you know, right up there, you know, under, now it's going to be a ways off, but it'll be, you know, probably the second highest rated sporting event this year, right?
Behind the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna be up there. And here's the thing also, you have to remember, you're desperate, right? We're all desperate for sports. We haven't had sports. You haven't had sports since what, March 11th or the 12th? The first half of the Big East game, I think, was the last.
Yeah, I think it was like that, yeah.
Sports that we had. And we're not gonna have it for months, right? Best case scenario, we're talking now NHL or Major League Baseball, we're talking late June, early July. So, guys, I mean, if you love sports, this is your fix. You have to be involved in this tonight. I'm going to say between 10 and 12 million viewers for this combined on the three networks.
Well, Dave, they were even talking about the gambling implications, and they're saying that this is going to be a heavily bet draft. Heavily betted. Like, I mean, like bets like you've never seen before on a draft. So, I mean, this is, I mean, people are locked in. People are going to be drawn into this just because if you're a sports fan, this is all you've had for a little over a month now, and it's probably all you're going to have for at least another month.
That's right.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.